It raises the most important question you'll ever have to deal with. Did the resurrection of Jesus really happen? And if not, Christians have been persecuted, martyred, and conned for the past 2,000 years. If it didn't happen, the Christian faith really is just one big delusion. On the other hand, if the resurrection is true, there are consequences. An incredible future for those who repent and believe, we've been singing about that this morning, or a terrible future for those who refuse the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. But whatever persuasion you come with this morning, I want to put to you, this event really was the greatest day in history. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I'm not sure I'm working this. Thank you. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because the words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." I don't know what for you would be your greatest day. For some, maybe it was their wedding. For others, maybe the birth of their first child. Or even for some of us, becoming a grandparent. Whoa. And they're in the back somewhere, or they were. For others with long memories, we might be thinking, well, over 50 years ago, England won the World Cup. A little bit later, man arrived on the moon. And then I saw this book, which I thought was quite interesting. The greatest day in history, when the First World War ended. Well, maybe it could have been if it was the war to end all wars, but unfortunately, it wasn't the war to end all wars. And as great as those days may be to individuals, nations, and even mankind, nothing comes close to the story we've just read about. Christmas tells us God became man. We don't hear much about Jesus after that for 30 years. And then he emerges from the desert with a message of hope and of salvation and forgiveness. No one had heard such a message preached with such authority. And signs and miracles confirmed his words. The crowds, they came from far and wide to hear him. But the religious leaders, they hated him. We had a little bit of a war on religion last week, didn't we? Well, they couldn't grasp the truth. The crowds came to hear him, but they hated him. He didn't abide by their rules. You know, he even healed somebody on their Sabbath day. I mean, what a terrible thing to do. And so they delivered him to Pilate, and he knew they were jealous because of his popularity. But incredibly, all of this was part of God's plan. In fact, 800 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah prophesied. This is what he said, or part of what he said. "He took the punishment, and that made us whole. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man. And all that was fulfilled, and much more, 800 years later. And so on Good Friday, the prophecy took place. Jesus was killed. Judas, his friend, betrayed him. The disciples had fled. All night long he was interrogated and tortured. And at 9 in the morning, they took him to be crucified. At midday, the sun was darkened. And for 3 hours, there was darkness as Jesus hung on the cross. And after 6 hours or so, Jesus had died. And they checked to make sure he was dead, and they pierced his side with a spear. And then they took the cold, dead, limp body and placed it in a tomb. And they sealed the tomb. There was this rumor. And it would be even worse if it came true, if the disciples were able to rob his body, or they could pretend a resurrection had taken place. So they persuaded the Roman soldiers to seal the tomb to make sure nobody could get in and nobody could get out. But then 3 days later, the body wasn't there. Even after it had been sealed and guarded by the soldiers, it was unbelievable. The disciples, his own disciples, didn't believe it at first. They didn't understand that he was going to come back from the dead again. And they saw him die. They saw him put that body being put in the tomb. They thought their dream had ended. But it was true. The religious leaders, they didn't want to believe it. They couldn't find the body. If only they could find a body, they could prove that all of this was just lies. But there wasn't one. Well, actually there was. But he was not dead. He was very much alive. And Jesus appeared on a number of occasions. Over 500 people, the Bible says, saw him at different times before he went back to heaven. He chatted with people. He taught people. He cooked breakfast and he ate with his friends. The impossible had happened. Jesus had come back to life just as he said he would. This really is the greatest day in history. And so we celebrate Easter. We celebrate victory over death. He didn't just come back to life again. Others had done that. He came back to life and he's still alive. 2,000 years later, Jesus still lives. There's no other religion which can make such a claim. Death has been conquered. Death, for the Christian at least, has lost its sting. If or when I die, I'm going to rise again. How do I know that? Because Jesus has already done it. The chains of death were broken on that first Easter day. That last enemy of mankind was destroyed. And he died that all who believe in him can be assured of resurrection too and eternal life. Is this good news? Eternal life, not just when I die, but eternal life starts now. It's eternal life, it's as much to do with quality as quantity. Yes, it goes on forever and ever. But eternal life is knowing God now. It's about relationship with him. And it's all possible because Jesus overcame death to give us life. No one before and no one since has ever done what Jesus did. That fact alone makes him the greatest person that ever lived on this earth. Secondly, this is the greatest day in history because Jesus conquered sin. Sin with I at the center. Our selfishness, our imperfection, our rebellion, our pride and greed, all that is bad, it separated us from a holy God. Because God so loved us, he had to find a solution. You see, justice demands that sin, like any crime or misbehavior, it needs to be punished. A price needs to be paid. So Jesus came. And the Bible tells us, well, he was tempted in every area, just like you and me. He understood us completely, but he never sinned. He was completely righteous and holy. Actually, that's another thing that sets him apart from anybody else and makes him the greatest person that ever lived. And the Bible tells us God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. I want to use a little illustration to illustrate my point here. I need a couple of helpers, actually. Emma's going to be one of them, if you don't mind coming up, Emma. And I don't know, anybody else? Don't have to be on the front row, but anybody? Thank you, John. Thank you, John. So Emma and John, you come and join me here. So God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. I'm going to be God. Who wants to be us? John, you're going to be us. Okay. So this is my friend John. Oh, here, what have we got here? Two of these. I only need one. Actually, this is God. God's holy. God's incredibly holy. There we are. This is me, this is God, all right? I'm incredibly holy. But God made man holy too, all right? So I'm going to put that around you there. John, you hold that together so it doesn't fall off. God made man holy. God made man to have a relationship with him. I should have this over me as well, just to show that I'm pretty good. God's good. And he had a relationship with him. And God used to come down and he would walk with man at the end of the day, and they would fellowship. God wasn't lonely as such, but he wanted to have communion, fellowship with human beings. And they'd look forward to that day, and man would look forward to that time, and they would fellowship together. But then one day, man made a bad mistake, and sin entered into the world. This represents that sin which entered into the world. And there was a separation. God was holy, but there was a gulf now between man and between God, and that relationship was broken. It was impossible for man to relate to God. It was impossible for God to relate to man. But God so loved the world. He so loved man. He wanted to reach out to man. And so he sent his son, Jesus. Here's Jesus. A very glamorous Jesus. And Jesus came. Now, Jesus had been in heaven, and he and Father, they were in relationship all the time. They loved each other. They shared with each other. And when Jesus came to earth, let's go for a little walk. When Jesus came to earth, God was with him all the time. And Jesus didn't sin. He saw the plight of mankind. He saw the temptations, but he never sinned once. And yet Scripture tells us God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. How was this price of sin going to be paid? There was only one way. This Holy One had to pay the price for us. And so Jesus was handed over and crucified. And Scripture tells us God made him who had no sin become sin for us. And the sin which was on man, your sins and my sins, were all placed. You're not holy now, by the way. They were all placed on Jesus. Can you imagine that? All the lust, all the greed, all the immorality, all the thieving, everything was placed on Jesus. Darkness came. Darkness came at that time. God had to turn away because that gulf existed again. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was aware there was a gulf which had replaced between him and Father God. But he was taking your sin. He was paying the price for you and for me. And the Scripture goes on to tell us, God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that righteousness which was on Jesus now comes onto us. And that relationship which God once had with man has been restored again, and we can have fellowship with him. That's what Easter is all about. Thank you, Emma. Thank you, John, for illustrating my point. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp. It's the truth of the gospel. He took our sin that we might become righteous. He doesn't see me now as greedy and selfish. He sees me as holy and righteous and perfect and pure, because that's who Jesus was. And he now sees me through those eyes, and I'm restored and reconciled to God. That's why Easter is such good news. And you might say to me, Neville, that all sounds great, yes, but how do we know it's true? How do we know it's true? I'll tell you why we know it's true. Because the grave's empty. We know that that sacrifice of Jesus coming and dying, and all of the things that he said about himself, and all the things that the prophets prophesied about him, we know it's true, because when they went to look in the grave, all they could find was grave clothes. Jesus had been raised from the dead. God said that sacrifice has been paid. It is possible now for man to be restored and reconciled to God again. If we believe, if we put our faith in him, if we turn to God even today, right now, we can receive eternal life and his righteousness and holiness because of what Jesus has done. That would make today your greatest day as well. The day your eternal salvation was secured by putting your faith in him. But I just want to leave you with one other, what I think is quite a fascinating fact. When he died, if you read the Gospels, you get different stories of the same story, different pictures of the same story. One of the Gospels tells us when he died, all sorts of stuff happened. We read about, you know, it's hard to believe. You know, I've been to Israel, but if you've been to any hot country, that sun was just completely darkened for 3 hours. There was an earthquake. One of the Gospels tells us tombs were opened. But not just the gravestones fell out, people came out of these tombs. It was like something was happening supernatural, and they appeared to people in Jerusalem. And even the pagan centurion, when he saw Jesus on the cross, himself was persuaded and said, surely, surely, he was the Son of God. But one other thing happened. A curtain, at least 30 feet high. I don't know how high this is. Maybe that sort of height. And 4 inches thick. And this curtain hung in the temple. And it separated the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and symbolizing God's presence. It separated the most holy place from the holy place. Nobody was allowed in that holy place. Just the high priest, just once a year. He had to go through all sorts of rituals if he wanted to live. And he went in once a year to offer on behalf of the people. But that curtain, which separated the most holy place from the holy place, the Bible tells us, ripped from the top to the bottom. 4 inches thick, couldn't have happened by man. It ripped from the top to the bottom as Jesus died on the cross. And what was that signifying? It was signifying the very thing that I've tried to illustrate to you, that the access to God is now completely open to all of us. No longer do we need a temple. No longer do we need priests. No longer do we need blood and sacrifices. No longer do we need any of the rituals. It's not religious. But through Jesus, we can come to God now, because that temple which that curtain which separated him from us has been torn, and access has been made possible. Hallelujah. It is possible for us to be reconciled and restored, and to have that relationship with God through what Jesus Christ has done. That's why that first Easter day is the greatest day in history. Amen. Amen. Amen.